Yeah, we know we took a week off last week, but come on, we had our 100th episode party, and then right after that was Dragon Con. Do you really think Kevin, Billy Idol, Raider Nerd, Wash, Reitzel could really come on and record after the 100th episode of Culture Clash followed by the eternal party that is Dragon Con? There's no way. In fact, Kevin, are you even alive over there yet?
I should be wearing my pineapple suit for this. I forgot to put it on again, man. I tell you, that pineapple suit was a hit. With the new hair, too, man. Woo, man.
Whatever, Chuckles.
I know, right?
Well, you know what? It's going to be a crazy episode. Kevin's going to tell us all about his Dragon Con adventures. We've got some news, including a lot of Captain Marvel, which, yeah. Hello, Brie Larson. Hello. We got some interesting things and buy it, stream it, and see it. And we're going to remember a legend in this edition of Culture Clash. So, Kevin, without further ado, shall we?
Let's do this thing.
This is the Culture Clash.
Yes, welcome to episode 101 of Culture Clash. Of course, Culture Clash.
That was fun. I got to say, let's do this thing. That was fun.
I got to give you a gift every 100 episodes or so. But again, this is Culture Clash, your home for fandom news, reviews, and whatever crazy stuff Kevin or whoever is co-hosting with me can come up with when Kevin travels. But hey, that's a whole other story. Kevin's on episode 76, actually. So.
I see what you did there.
So Kevin, would you like to tell the good people where they can find not only Culture Clash, but all the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network?
Yes, we've got a master feed at the podbean.com. That's fpnet.podbean.com. That's where you can find all of our shows on the master feed there. FPNet is also on the Podbean app. Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play for you Android users. We are also on Facebook. Check us out, our page there at Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com and also on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and on Twitter at FanPod Network. I'm Kevin. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. Kyle, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW and on Instagram at AKyleFandom.
I guess, so I just got to tell you real quick, I got a little distracted because I have the television on the background and have a repeat of WKRP on, and guess who just walked into the room?
Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey.
I've been watching a lot of, what's funny is I've been watching WKRP on Hulu, so.
I just watched the first episode right before Dragon Con, and it was really cool to see how that first episode went. It was really neat.
Kevin, I have one thing to say to you then.
What's that?
Booger! We have a whole generation of people who have no clue what Kevin and I are talking about.
No, we're just totally dating ourselves right now. Anyway, let's talk about TeePublic, man. What do you got about TeePublic? It's our store, right?
Yeah, we can find all the great swag of the Fandom Podcast Network at TeePublic. Just search, go to teepublic.com, search Fandom Podcast Network. You can find art and shirts, not only shirts, but pillows, phone cases, laptop cases,
mugs,
awesome tapestries,
underwear.
No underwear. Sorry, we go commando at the Fandom Podcast Network. Remember?
That's right. Sorry. Yep.
You broke the rule today, didn't you?
I did.
I kind of thought so. But you know what? It's okay, because if you just go to Fandom Podcast Network at tpublic.com, you're going to find all kinds of great swag. Kevin, what can you tell us about iTunes reviews?
We would love some more iTunes reviews. Please head on over to iTunes and search Fandom Podcast Network, and please leave us a review if you like what you're hearing here on Culture Clash. Give us a 5-star review. We'd very much appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. Now, normally we would be jumping into a little Let's News, but we got something special here because Uncle Traveling Kevin traveled a very, 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 very short distance.
Did you see that Facebook post that I did, man? Yeah. You know when you travel from one place to another?
I traveled farther than you that weekend.
Yeah, you did.
With a new car. And it wasn't from The Price is Right, darn it. But Kevin, you have tales from Dragon Con to tell us?
I do have tales. But you know what? Let's talk about what you alluded to. You actually came to visit me at Dragon Con, yes. Which is great.
I was making a little road trip to see some people, and my trip was a little adventurous, which I won't get into because it's boring. But I did stop in Atlanta and get to see you the day before Dragon Con. I have come to find out that the Thursday before Dragon Con, really Dragon Con is already going on. They're just not officially going on.
Yeah. Wednesday. Remember when Thursday was the new Friday? Yeah. And then now Wednesday is the new Thursday. Yeah. I showed up on Wednesday.
The calm before the storm.
People were there, I think, on Tuesday and maybe even early. It's crazy, dude. Yeah.
I think it's a week long event now, pretty much.
Yeah, but there was parties going on, like welcome to Dragon Con parties on Wednesday. That's when I wore my awesome pineapple suit. It was on Wednesday night. Hip hop trooper Eugene Strider had a party at Big Kahuna's, and that was a lot of fun. A lot of 501st friends showed up for that, and yeah, man, I was rocking that pineapple suit. I got people stopping me taking pictures of it. They thought it was a costume.
For some reason, I have a craving for pineapple upside down cake now. I don't know why.
But you came up to visit on Thursday, right?
Yes.
It was Thursday? Yeah. And so it was nice. We went to the Hard Rock Cafe, had a very overpriced lunch. But it was fun. I mean, okay, so you were up in the area for Dragon Con. You were seeing the buzz. Yet you had to leave. But, what was going through your mind?
I was like, because I haven't been to the last two Dragon Cons. My work schedule's just been to the point where I'm off that weekend, but I can't take the extra time off after the holiday that's required for Dragon Con recovery and absorbing that last day of Dragon Con. But I wanted to come up. I was going to go see some other friends in another location, but stopping in Atlanta was on the way, and I can't be near Atlanta and not see Kevin Reitzel. That's just not allowed.
Yeah, man. So, and just a reminder for those of you that are listening that don't know, Dragon Con is officially 4 days, but it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, because Monday's a holiday, it's Labor Day. But you got to get there Thursday, get your badges. They have events going on there. But it was nice. You came up on Thursday. We hung out for a little bit, and I think you saw maybe a few costumes.
A few costumes. But the big thing was, I got the feel of the hotel and the atrium.
This is true.
It's hard to leave that, man. It's hard to leave.
When you come to Dragon Con, there's a few things you have to do. You have to go to the Marriott. Of course, they don't have the Marriott carpet that we have, but everything else is now the Marriott carpet. Now there's costumes. There's a Stormtrooper as the same Marriott carpet pattern. But you have to go to the atrium there and look up and take some cool selfies and pictures of the Marriott atrium, because it is fantastic.
The only problem I have with the atrium anymore, though, Kevin, every time I see it, I expect the Vulture to come swooping in and take me away.
Imagine back in 2008, was it 8 or 7? Maybe it was 2007. I can't remember when they had the G.I. Joe convention at a hotel room, and they did the G.I. Joe parachute drop from the 10th floor. Oh, can you imagine that?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
But yeah, it was good to see you, man. I arrived, I checked in on Wednesday this year. And of course I have a Legacy hotel now. For those of you that don't know, a Legacy hotel is one that you are allowed to keep as long as you, I think it's on, I was at the Hilton. So on Thursday you go, there was a time on Wednesday now where you show up at the front desk and you say, I want a room for next year. And because you're a current guest, they give you a little voucher. You take that voucher as soon as you check in, and you show up at certain times to redeem that voucher to get a reservation for next year. At least a minimum of a 4-night stay. Doesn't matter. I was saying, well, I'm going to be coming Wednesday night through Monday anyway. So it was like a 5-night stay there. And I did reserve one for next year. Got that out of the way. Thursday night, we had the G.I. Joe Finest meetup. This was kind of after you left. So we had that going on. That was fun. And then I had the Wilro Hood run on Thursday night. We've been doing it on Thursday night for the last several Dragon Cons, and I organized that one myself. I got them all together. We had, I think it was around, I want to say 14 to 15 runners. It was really cool. It's a popular night on Thursday night because they have the Bunny Hutch night. Do you know what that is?
That's a new one. Refresh my memory.
It's become a popular thing on Thursday nights now. That is the Hugh Hefner slash Playboy Bunny kind of mashup costume night.
Yeah, okay. I've seen those costumes. So
what you do is you turn a costume into kind of a if you're a girl, you usually you do the
I've seen Playboy Bunny. I've seen our friend Joe Colton and her friends with the bunny suits.
Yes, and then of course you do the Hugh Hefner smoking jacket velour thing. But you, a lot of people like to take a costume that they own or like, and then but kind of turn it into that. And it's kind of become a big thing. So we had one of our Wilbur Hoods dressed up with a velour outfit, which was a lot of fun. He had gone to that party, and then I realized that I'm old and I had to go to bed at a decent hour, which at Dragon Con is around midnight. Friday was the first day of the con. I tried to sleep in. I was considering going to a panel, but I didn't. So the first thing that I ended up doing was I went and did a photo shoot before my table duty at the Rebel Legion booth. Decided to get my photo done with Chuckles. Done by Brian Humphrey, who is the mad scientist, awesome photographer, officially licensed there or employed by DragonCon there at the Marriott, one of the bottom floors there. And you've seen him there. Yeah. He has the same spot every single year. He's a great friend of the finest. He's done some photo shoots for us. Great guy. And I wanted a really good Chuckles professional picture done because I wanted to get one of those trading cards done. And, of course, I had my Chuckles outfit with a big custom missile that I had from the famous scene in the original G.I. Joe cartoon movie where he takes the broken missile off the Havoc, I think.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? And he throws it at the Hiss tank. So I had that big prop. That was a lot of fun. That was one of the reasons why I went blonde, too. I got to use my real hair instead of my goofy Chuckles wig. So I got that done, and then I showed up for the table duty for Rebel Legion first thing. I think it was around noon for that. And I decided to do something I've been wanting to do for the last 3 or 4 years but have not made time for, Kyle. My good friend Philip Gladney is part of the local Star Wars gaming group, and he also does Lord of the Rings, of the Decipher Lord of the Rings and Decipher, like, Star Wars games, and he held a Lord of the Rings cube draft. Do you remember ever, did you ever play the Lord of the Rings trading card game or any of those?
You know,
did you ever get into that?
I played a little bit. I played some Magic of the Gathering at the time. I did play the Star Trek game. I actually played, I remember when the Star Wars game came out for Decipher, I played that, but I think I was kind of out of it by the time they actually came out with Lord of the Rings. I think Highlander was probably the last of the collectible card games I remember messing around with.
Well, I used to work for Decipher that made those card games, and Lord of the Rings was a huge hit when it came out, and the gameplay was fantastic. The designers did a fantastic job of getting a feel for, the Lord of the Rings characters and gameplay. And so he made, basically, it's a booster draft where you randomly open up these boosters. But they're more of a virtual booster, because when a cube draft is, he puts all the cards together in a box, and then he makes these little piles of, like, their packs, and then you basically play a booster draft, but without having to actually buy product or bring your own cards. It's the perfect way to play these fun games without having to go buy cards or bring your own cards. And it was a lot of fun. We did that. I think I came in, like, maybe top 4 out of 8, I think, that we had. So that was kind of cool. After that, what did I do? So that was Friday. I think I rested for a little bit because I'm old. Friday night, I got into my driver costume. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling from Drive.
Kevin, I got to say, though, you got a long way to go before you match the abs.
This is very true. but so going into Dragon Con, I took 8 costumes. And some of them were retreads. And you know what? I didn't feel bad at all. I decided to bring costumes that I only wore once or a few times and rock them again, you know? And that was one of them. And that was really cool. Met some cool people at the Hyatt. And I smoked my my Dragon Con cigar. I always try to find time to smoke that one Dragon Con cigar. And I did that. That was a lot of fun. Saturday was the parade. Now, Kyle, normally I do the parade with the 501st and Rebel Legion.
You mixed it up this year. You went with your other affiliation.
Yes, I decided to do it with my finest G.I. Joe costume group. Now, before I talk about that, did you notice a certain thing that the Georgia 501st debuted at Dragon Con?
I thought it was what I drove
home. Made some news?
I thought it was what I drove home of that Sandcrawler. Was it a Sandcrawler?
Yeah, man. The Georgia 501st and a lot of the brand new Jawas that came on with the big, gigantic Jawa build horde. And we got a bunch of new people in the 501st because of it. Some great people of that group made a Jawa Sandcrawler and debuted it at the Dragon Con parade.
Wait, Kevin, one thing. Jawa Sandcrawler, horrible gas mileage. Not eco-friendly at all.
This is true, but it made news. But I saw that David Manderville posted something about it, and I think Matthew Clifton did, and it was awesome. And a lot of people were wondering, like, how did they do that? Well, I was in on the secret Facebook group when that was being built, and they basically took an airport shuttle, a used airport shuttle, and made an outer chassis for the walls and everything. And all of that comes apart and goes inside the vehicle. So you can actually drive it like a real shuttle. And then when you want to build it, they put it all together. It's quite genius. It was really cool. But I did the parade with my G.I. Joe finest guys. I went as Chuckles, of course. And that was a lot of fun. It was great to see those guys again. And then one of the things that I was really looking forward to, because Kyle, you know, when you're in a parade, it gets really hot.
Yeah.
So what would you want to do after you did a long parade route and you're in your costume and you're tired and you're hot? What would you like to do?
Jump in the pool.
Yes. Our buddy Johnny K, of course, guest of the Hair Metal Podcast episode 1, is coming on again. And of course, we did a great live G.I. Joe Con podcast. He was in the parade, but he hosted and he did it last year and it was very popular. He had a pool party at the Sheridan afterwards. Had a great time hanging out with those Joe buddies, finest buddies, doing a little pool action there. Then Saturday night comes rolling around and I did my thing that I do every Saturday night for the last 3 years now. So I volunteered for the 501st mixer party. And that is on the 10th floor of the atrium there at the Marriott. And I provided some security and helped, get that thing rolling. We had Corey D. Williams show up, you know, Billy D. Williams' son, who also was one of the aliens and stunt performers of Return of the Jedi. And we also had Timothy Zahn show up. Very cool. We also had, Gilroy.
Henry Gilroy.
What's his name?
Henry Gilroy.
Yeah, Henry Gilroy from Rebels fame. He showed up as well.
Also, he's the man heading up Star Wars Resistance.
Yes, exactly. So it was good to see those. And they've been there before. I've seen Timothy Zahn come up there before. I've seen Corey come there. And Corey's an honorary member of the 501st as well as those guys are and stuff. So so that was a lot of fun. I did that on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, what did I do on Sunday? I'm forgetting. Sunday morning. I think I decided to go to the dealer hall for the
Was it Sunday or was it Monday? I think it might have been Monday. Grabby.
Okay, hold on. I'll get to that in a second. So I wanted to get an autograph. So the lovely Evangeline Lilly was in town only on Sunday and Monday. So I had a card I wanted to get signed with her and I wanted a picture opportunity. So I decided to get the card signed first when she first did her first signing on that Sunday because I wanted to get that done out of the way. But I did make an appointment to get a picture with her on Monday. But I also braved the dealer hall, or at least part of it, on Sunday. And so that was a lot of fun. I did that. And then later that night, we did the Matt the Radar Tech March. And we had a great turnout for that. We had about, there you go. Yep, got to put the thumbs up. We had about, I think, like 16 people. But what was really cool, the reason why we have it on Sunday is because we try to recruit new mats that we see from, like, you know, the beginning of the convention. And these guys showed up, and a girl showed up as the shirtless Kylos all together on, I think it was Thursday night, maybe. And we saw them at the Hyatt and we drafted them. He's like, you got to be here on Sunday night. We're going to have a bunch of mats here. You have to show up for it. And they showed up for it. It was great. So we did the mat march. That was a lot of fun. Monday was a little, was interesting because we checked out of the hotel room, got everything out of the hotel, parked, cars parked, so we can come back to the convention and enjoy it without having to worry about checking out and everything. So I had a picture opportunity after I did my last run of the dealer hall with a lovely Evangeline Lilly. Something kind of came up that I decided to post about. Do you remember, was it last year I got my picture taken with
lovely, beautiful, gorgeous Kyle has had a crush on since Beverly Hills 90210, Miss Dina Meyer,
More famously known as Starship Troopers, mm-hmm. Also Birds of Prey. Yep. I had gotten her character card sign from Star Trek Nemesis because she played the Romulan that fought with honor, as Worf would say. And Aaron, my fiance, gave me a little ribbon that, you know, gave me a little teasing from that picture.
And good nature.
Yeah, because, you know, when she grabbed me for the picture, I kind of had my hand around her waist, maybe a little too high, you know. So when I went to go get my picture taken with Evangeline Lilly, she's a little bit shorter than me. She grabbed me for the hug, and then I brought my arm around. And
a little too maybe high. Maybe a little too.
So Aaron was teasing me, calling me Mr. Grabby Hands. And so I put a funny post out there and got some very interesting responses. But seriously, though, there was some concern of cosplay thing that kind of came up, as well as, you know, a lot of women were actually that posted on that. And I thanked them for it, for bringing up the kind of underlying issue of, you know, celebrities being careful on how you approach them. But also when you get your pictures taken with people in cosplay, being careful where you put your hands. So the lesson that I learned is ask first and put your arm around their shoulder.
Yeah. Now, I think, okay, I'm going to go in a little bit of your defense, at least with the Evangeline Lilly. And really, the picture from previous year. The way they hugged you, there's a natural placement of the arm. It's not intentional. Yeah. It's a natural placement. And you add in size factor and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I was taller than these girls.
Yeah. So you add,
I didn't even think about it, and the pictures were done so quick.
You add that in, and those pictures are done so quick. Now, I do think it's different when you're taking a picture with a cosplayer. Because, you know, the celebrities are there, especially if they're the ones to initiate the contact.
Right, right.
You know, and I think they know when somebody's being an intentional jerk and when somebody's... But when you are taking a picture with a cosplayer, I think it is a very... Like, where, you know, if they want to, if they put their arm around you and you put it around their shoulder or something like that, they're fine with it. And again, part of it is depends on
you all. First of all, you always ask permission with the cosplayer to take their picture. And when it comes to personal contact, you pretty much just either ask or just don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I usually will just stand up next to a cosplayer. But, you know, when it comes to celebrity, in case for you that haven't had a professional picture taken with a celebrity at these conventions, it's done within seconds.
Yeah.
You know, you come up, you know, you stand next to them. They might put their arm around you. They might not. But you stand there, you get your picture, boom, done. It's like 5 seconds or less than 10 seconds at the most. And you're done. You go. So, she was making what, like, $70 a pop for these pictures.
Well, I'll give you an example. You know? For me, it was a couple years ago at Dragon Con. I had Katie Cassidy and Katie Lutz from the Arrow show at the time, and I was a double picture with them. And they came up and they each put one arm around me, and I kind of put my arms around their back and shoulder, just height. And it was a height thing more than anything.
I didn't make
the moves with my arm until they had.
Because you're taller than people think if you haven't met you.
Yeah,
you
know? I'm 6'1", so. You know, so I kind of put my shoulder across their back and shoulder like that, maybe like mid back or something like that. But I didn't reach all the way around, but they put their arms, each an arm around me. And, you know, it is kind of a weird feeling because you're happy to have them there, but it's like, you don't want to come across as like, am I being grabby?
Yeah, but it was a funny thread. I mean, I put it up there for kind of funny laughs, but, you know, it was nice to get the input from the ladies, and I do appreciate that very, very much. But the other thing I really enjoyed about that thread I posted was some other people posting some really great pictures with some, you know, celebrities that had a little fun with them.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that was pretty much Dragon Con in a nutshell. I want a little shout out to my buddy Dave Fielding and his lovely wife. I met him at a Dragon Con party a couple of years ago. He's from Leeds, England, also a Raider fan. We met up when he came up on Wednesday, and we had a Mellow Mushroom, which is normally a closing Dragon Con tradition that I've done with you and Matt and Kat, but it was kind of nice to switch that up. So, you know, I had a great time, and it was a little stressful up until it, getting everything ready and done. But once I got down there and got in the hotel, and it was a lot of fun, and I'm hoping that you can come out next year.
So that is the plan. Now, Kevin, I have thought about this issue, and I figured out a way to equal it out just to make Aaron happy for you.
Okay, what's that? What's your?
Well, it depends on if a certain gentleman is in attendance at Dragon Con next year. He's been there quite a few times.
Would that be Jason Momoa?
No. This is one Mr. John Barrowman, who is a great guy. But I think to round things out and make sure things are on an even keel, one of the days of Dragon Con, you must wear a kilt and go through the John Barrowman kilt check.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I think that would just balance things out. I think Aaron would be okay with it. So. But
Barrowman loves Dragon Con, yes. Man. I'll tell you that.
Well, without further ado, I think that wraps up your Dragon Con tales that you can tell, because there are certain things that when they happen at Dragon Con, they stay at Dragon Con.
Yes, they do. I had a blast, though. And again, I just want to say thank you for all my Dragon Con family. And dude, the costumes, again, just blew it out of the water. Dragon Con is the premier costume contest.
Yeah. I believe it was your buddy Johnny K, too, who was part of that great Predator group.
Oh, Johnny K and the guys that did Predator. Yeah, he played Blaine, Jesse Ventura's character. And oh my God, I knew he was working on that costume, but I didn't know he was putting the group together to do it together. And I was in my Matt the Radar Tech run when I literally ran into them, and we got some pictures together. And oh my gosh, it was fantastic.
Yeah, that was awesome. So, but Kevin, we've made the people wait long enough. Are you feeling it? I know you're tired. I know you're still in recovery mode.
Here we go. Ready? Let's news.
Let's news.
So, yeah, we took a week off, and there was kind of a fairly significant news story that broke during that week off, Kevin, and that is we've got our first official look of Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, and she looks outstanding, my friend.
Yes, she does. She looks outstanding, and this takes place during the 90s, correct?
Yep, during the 90s.
It was nice to see that picture of the 90s Nick Fury with Samuel Jackson, mm-hmm. but I was still waiting for the Agent Coulson. I didn't see pictures of him.
Well, they're probably saving that for the ultimate surprise. You won't see that till the movie, but the costume looks spectacular. Brie Larson looks spectacular. In fact, there was a great picture of her and Allison Brie from Glow training together that made the rounds. That became viral as they were working together with the same trainer that people had a lot of fun with.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So you being the comic book expert and superhero expert, what was your first reaction of her outfit as Captain Marvel?
Oh, it's spot on. There's so many things. I mean, it's perfect as far as the Captain Marvel outfit. I like, too, they also showed our first pictures of the alien Skrulls, who I think are going to be a big part of the Marvel universe going forward. They looked very sharp.
Ben Mendelsohn is going to be one of the main bad guys there, yeah. But we also saw Lee Pace as...
Ronan, coming back as Ronan the Accuser. Let's talk about that, because we get the introduction, we see in the picture of this, of the Star Force, which was kind of a very low, obscure thing in Marvel, which they're making kind of a relative thing here with some familiar faces and other characters, but let's talk about some of the other characters they're bringing in. We have Minerva, played by Gemma Chan. She was, before Carol joins the team, Minerva was the star of Star Force. So she's slightly threatened by someone else who has come in and is also very talented. Another face we're familiar with is Korath, of course, played by Diamond Hunsell. And of course, we saw Korath meeting his end in the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, so does he start off as a good guy and then becomes a bad guy? Or is this just an early version of him being the bad guy with Ronan?
This is kind of not so much a bad guy, but he's just who he is. According to the description, prior to his end in Guardians, the Kree Pursuer was a decorated Star Force member. He's still a humorless machine, Hunsell explains, but we get to experience him at his infancy. So
I think that's great. I'm glad they're doing this kind of continuity with the characters that we liked in Guardians of the Galaxy, and they're coming back, you know, especially because of the time frame.
Yeah, of course. And we are getting Lee Pace back as Ronan the Accuser. This is before he became the radical Kree outcast that aligned with Thanos. We have Ben Mendelsohn as Talos. Mendelsohn has played many villains, but here he stars as both a nefarious Skrull leader and the human he impersonates. As Mendelsohn puts it, it ain't easy being green. Yeah, I'm sure he had some more conversations with Mark Ruffalo about that.
One of the pictures, real quick, that I thought was neat was the picture of when she's wearing the leather jacket and the Nine Inch Nails t-shirt.
Yeah. One of the things too is Sam Jackson saw one of the early shots of him de-aged for this, and he didn't recognize himself.
I got that issue of Entertainment Weekly after they released the digital pictures of it, man. And I gotta say, I'm excited about this. She is the first female superhero lead in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Correct. But Marvel has built up some very strong female characters, and they're continuing to do so. So I'm really liking what Marvel is doing. But we had another piece of news. Do you remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the Oscars adding a new category?
Yeah, we got all excited because there was a new category. Yeah.
Now, the most popular film character, and the Oscar goes to... Oh, wait. Not so fast, my friend. They've dropped this category.
That's because they don't want to give it to Black Panther.
I think a part of it might even be that there a lot of people think Black Panther has a legitimate shot at Best Picture, but the Oscars reasoning is too much of a backlash. They want more time to research the category. This isn't coming back, Kevin.
Well, remember I brought up, I don't know about that. But remember I brought up the concern was, well, who gets the Oscar?
Yeah,
because. You know, the best movie producers get it. Obviously, the director has his own role and the stars have their own role. But the big question is who gets that Oscar? Because if you're going to give out an Oscar and you're going to kind of have a category that's kind of a, you know, America's Choice MTV type thing, you really got to be specific on who's going to actually get the Oscar.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that was one of the problems with it. So, you know, I'm fine with this, honestly. I think let's make sure we've got it right. And I'm really looking forward to the Black Panther push because I am rooting wholeheartedly for Black Panther to win Best Picture of the Year because I haven't seen anything to top it yet. I know we got a few months left, but it would be my pick right now. So
Crazy Rich Asians, maybe?
Yeah, no.
That was a good movie.
Well, speaking of Marvel films, there is a rumor floating around that Guy Ritchie might soon be joining the MCU family. And if he's going
to... I actually like this. I really do.
Okay. Now, Kevin, you will push me over with a feather if you tell me you have read Captain Britain comics.
I have not.
Okay, good.
I know I've heard of him.
Yeah.
And I sort of know who he is. He's basically the Captain America version.
Yeah.
But the Brit version, UK version.
The talk is that Guy Ritchie is going to do a Captain Britain film with also the character of the Black Knight in it. Now, first of all, addressing Captain Britain, who has for a very long time been one of my favorite.
Hold on. This is different from the Union Jack type thing, isn't it?
Correct. There is a character by the name of Union Jack who fought with Captain America during World War II.
Okay.
Captain Britain.
See, I thought it was this guy first. I thought it was the Union Jack
no.
guy.
This is Captain Britain. He's powered by magic, and it is some of the craziest comics from the 1980s you will ever read. Chris Claremont and Alan Davis were kind of considered the primary creative team on Captain Britain, and you can buy the Marvel trades. It was a lot of it was in the Marvel UK line, which didn't come over to the States till much later, but they are some great comics. Captain Britain really gained prominence through the X-Men because his in the comics, his sister is the character Psylocke.
Okay.
And it's a lot of people.
Wait, hold on. Is that the Olivia Munn character?
Yes, who's Olivia Munn? That is the Olivia Munn character.
Okay, yeah, I got something right. Woohoo.
So he got a lot of prominence through there, and then he was the lead in an X-Men spinoff book that's also included Nightcrawler, Kitty Pryde, and Colossus called Excalibur. And he got a lot of promise there. I've always loved the look of the character. It's a little bit off the wall, but it's a lot of fun. Now, as far as the Black Knight goes, the Black Knight's an interesting character in Marvel history. He's actually been an Avenger. He's been in a lot of different teams. The premise of the Black Knight in the Marvel universe is he wields the Ebony Blade, which is a very, basically an indestructible sword. But there's a curse to the...
Isn't that what the Mandalorians are always trying to get?
No, that's a little different. That name, but there's a curse on the Ebony Blade. If the user of the Ebony Blade draws blood, he becomes basically a living statue. He gets turned into an extension of the Ebony Blade.
Fascinating.
So Guy Ritchie doing a Captain Britain film, yeah, you can count me in yesterday. Let's make this happen. this has the potential to be a character like Ant-Man or Guardians of the Galaxy where people are like, who? But it could be really, really good. So
very cool. All right.
Kevin, are you looking in a mirror by chance?
No, I'm not. Why?
I might look in a mirror and I might go, Candyman. Candyman. Candy. Oh, wait, is that Jordan Peele over there?
That dude is busy.
Just a little, yes. There has been a lot of talk of remaking the classic 19. What was that? Is that? Early 90s, Kevin?
Late 80s? 92.
Core film.
Starring Tony Todd. Yes.
Tony Todd, the very good actor in his own right. There's been a lot of talk of remaking it, and now Jordan Peele's name is attached. Is there anything Jordan Peele isn't doing, Kevin?
Yeah, since, was it Get Out? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Get Out. He's doing that Twilight Zone remake for CBS.
Yep.
For the All Access.
Yep.
He's got a couple of things in the works.
They want to remake Candyman. Of course, Tony Todd. More people might know him from one of the henchmen in The Crow and also Worf's brother. And of course, several other really cool characters. But he's probably more known for the Candyman character. And he's done more than one movie. You know what? Jordan seems to be the hot hand right now when it comes to being a director and, of course, actor and producer. What's your feeling? I mean, I'm not really a horror guy. I know that's a popular series and I'm sure there's a lot of true fans are going, no, don't do it. But it's Jordan Peele, man.
Jordan Peele is hot as the sun right now. And the thing is he has such a different vision on things and he is a horror fan, but not like that blood and guts horror.
Make sure you say horror fan.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Family show, Kevin, family show. But
yes.
The thing is that he has such a unique vision. Get Out was such a unique film, and I'm really looking forward to actually what he's going to do with this Twilight Zone remake he's doing for CBS All Access. I can't wait for that to come out.
Right, yeah.
But I think this is something that could be right up his alley because it's not a ton of blood and guts. But Candyman's always kind of been kind of interesting. In fact, I think wasn't Virginia Madsen in the first film?
I think so, yeah.
So. I'm very curious to see where it goes with this. Candyman's kind of one of those things. He's not quite up there with Freddy and Jason, but he's in that second tier. Maybe we're on like Pinhead level.
Right, right.
Aaron's gonna come hunt me down for saying that, I'm sure, but but now, Kevin, the last thing we're gonna talk about is we're gonna remember a legend because last Friday the news broke. Burt Reynolds passed away. Now, he was 82 years old. He died of a heart attack. But Burt Reynolds is definitely one of those generational actors because you have different area things you remember Burt Reynolds for. I think, he probably had the crown of his height late 70s, early 80s, would you say, Kevin?
Yes. I would say even, he made his first impact, I think, Deliverance was the big film.
Oh, yeah.
He was... He looked really good in that. But, you know, I would have to say probably his crowning achievement was probably Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, I think he will. That is an uncanny look for – that will always be the classic look for him as the Bandit, obviously with Sally Field and Jackie Gleason. And those movies were classic. You had Audrey Reed.
Cannonball Run, yep. Man. Yeah.
Him and Dom DeLuise always made a great team. But let's talk about some of his more recent, because he had some pretty good stuff recently too, Kevin.
Yeah, he had a little resurrection, which was nice. You know, probably a lot has to do with Boogie Nights,
yeah.
Where he was, you know, the adult, I guess,
film producer.
I guess, yeah, film producer. Of course, starring Mark Wahlberg. That kind of started his comeback. You know, I don't know if I would count Striptease with Demi Moore as a comeback.
No, but
he was getting some decent roles, and he was kind of making a comeback there. He was doing a lot of stuff. So, his last film is called Defining Moments, and I guess it was recently completed in 2018. I don't know when that's coming out. He did Shadow Fighter. These are his recent films. But yeah, he's man. If you look at his. You know, he was even in Robot Chicken episodes.
Yeah. I mean. he that's the thing about him. He didn't let his legendary status get to him.
Yeah.
He was never acted that way. And I mean, you know, Kevin, I got to ask you, I mean, you say Bandit, but what is your favorite Burt Reynolds film?
You know, It's easy to say Bandit, but I got to tell you, there was something really special about Cannonball Run and how fun that movie was. You know, when it comes to the serious side, though, I got to give a shout out to Deliverance, because that was really the film, I think, that really pushed him into stardom. And Aaron and I did a kind of little Deliverance. We went up to the area where it was filmed in the river there. We kind of went around and did some hiking there, and that was a lot of fun. But, you know, and he looked really good in that film, but the film was, of course, very depressing,
yeah.
and creepy. But, you know, it's very easy to say, you know, Smokey and the Bandit, because that was his iconic role in that car that he drove. But the fact that he was in an ambulance with Dom DeLuise in this cross-country you know, a crazy car chase was just so much fun.
Yeah, I think the Cannonball Run movies are up there, obviously Smokey and the Bandit films. You know, there's one that I've always liked too. I think it's a little underrated, and that is Sharky's Machine.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It is definitely underrated. I would agree with you.
Yeah. And you know what? And you got too. Let's not forget the athlete Burt Reynolds was, and of course the original The Longest Yard.
Yeah, that's right. Good football film. So, good call.
A true Hollywood legend, and you know, thank you, Burt Reynolds, for a lot of entertainment. And you know, I think the thing what Burt Reynolds always remember too is that laugh.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and he was just very iconic in so many ways, and he did a lot of roles.
Yep. So. Well, with that,
rest in peace. Yep. Rest in peace.
With that, we're going to play a little promo right now to tell you about all the other great shows here on the Fan Podcast Network. And then we'll be back with a little maybe talking about things we've seen. So enjoy the promo, and we'll be right back. Hey, Kevin, I hear you're one of the Fandom Podcast Network's co-founders.
I heard the same rumor about you too, Kyle. Like the Three Musketeers, we would be incomplete without our third member and co-founder, Norman.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's an honor to be part of the Fandom Podcast Network with you two. Kyle, why don't you start us off and let everyone know what great shows we have on the network.
Absolutely. Starting with our flagship show on the network, we have Culture Clash, your weekly fandom news show covering everything, news, reviews, and whatever crazy things we can come up with. Of course, we also have Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with Tom Caldwell, Brandon Shematula, and Chris High. Kevin, what else do we have on the network?
Kyle, we also have Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. Also, if you're a hard rock music fan, I host the Hair Metal podcast as we rediscover the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. Norman, we're not done yet. What else have we got on the Fandom Podcast Network?
Well, Kevin, you and I co-host Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast covering all things Highlander And I also co-host with you, Kevin, and Kyle, and other special guests, Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery, and the Orville podcast. But Kyle, last and certainly not least, what are the other shows on the network?
Well, for all you movie fans out there, this podcast is for you. We have Couch Potato Theater, covering cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. And for you football fans, we have this show for you, The End Zone, giving you all the great mediocre fantasy football advice you can get and covering everything the NFL. And finally, you Doctor Who fans out there, we have Type 40, a Doctor Who fandom podcast. Now, Kevin, can you tell everyone how to find all these great programs on the Fandom Podcast Network?
Sure, Kyle. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at the fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. You can also find us on Facebook under Fandom Podcast Network. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram under Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPodNetwork.
Also, please search Fandom Podcast Network on tpublic.com for our store, where you can find all our shows and their logos and great t-shirts and other fun items. Also, please search Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes and leave us a review.
Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and most importantly, enjoy your fandom. So, Kevin, you know, we got some great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network, so definitely check all those out.
Yes.
But we've seen a few things, so once again, it is time to
buy it, stream it, or unsee it.
And, Kevin, a movie I haven't had a chance to see yet, but one I do want to go see. I'm very mixed when it comes to Jennifer Garner. I think she's a very good actress, but sometimes she's really good, and sometimes I'm like, eh. But you went and saw Peppermint.
Yes, this movie intrigued me from the first time I saw the trailers, and it intrigued me because it was like, wait a minute, I get to see Jennifer Garner in a revenge flick kicking some butt like she did back in the Alias days. And this is the Jennifer Garner that I missed because I loved Alias. And she kind of went on and she did some comedies. She did 13 Going on 30, which is a very cute film, you know, where she's a 13-year-old and all of a sudden she's 30 and she's having, you know, it was kind of like, you know, Big, but the female version, you know. And of course, had been married to Ben Affleck for a while there and had kids. And, you know, I know she's been doing a lot of those Capital One credit card commercials too. And, you know, an occasional movie, but this was from the director of Taken. And, you know, and when you see the trailer, you pretty much get the story behind, you know, she has to go up against drug cartels and the corrupt police officers and lawyers and judges that protect them. And her family was targeted for assassination and she's the only survivor, you know. And so she drops off the grid for 5 years to, you know, find herself, but basically start some training and learn how to kick some major butt. And she comes back on the anniversary of her family's death and starts wreaking havoc on the cartel and the members that killed her family, as well as the police and lawyers and judges that protected them. Now, this isn't like the most well-crafted film. It's your typical revenge action flick. We've seen a lot of these. But Jennifer Garner brings something to the role that is fun to watch. And she's got a little humor as well. And there were some interesting characters, you know, corrupt and not corrupt. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. And as for where I would put it somewhere in the middle between see it or buy it and stream it. Definitely stream it. But I did enjoy seeing it on the big screen. I got what I wanted out of it. It wasn't too long of a film. I thought it was, you know, paced well. And gotta tell you, man, it was fun watching her get some revenge.
Yeah, she's great in action films. I'll tell you one I've always enjoyed her in was The Kingdom by Peter.
Good point. Excellent. She was really good in that. I totally forgot about that. Thank you for bringing that up. An excellent role for her in that film, and she kicked some butt in that.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to this film. Now, we're going to hit some TV shows here, and we're going to start with a couple Netflix shows that have come out recently. I'm going to talk about Iron Fist Season 2. I've only watched the first two episodes, but Kevin, you kind of knew I was a lot more excited about Season 2 of Iron Fist than I was Season 1 because of the way they portrayed Danny Rand, in specifically in Luke Cage Season 2, in that episode 10 of that series, because it felt like Finn Jones had settled a little bit more into the role. It was feeling more comfortable. And from what I've seen in these first two episodes, one, the fight scenes are definitely much better. And Finn Jones feels like he fits a lot better into the role. And I also know Iron Fist has a new showrunner for this second season, and you can tell the difference right out of the gate. So I'm looking forward to finishing up Season 2 of Iron Fist.
I have also watched the first episode and part of the second episode, and I would agree with everything that you said. I wasn't as harsh on the first season like a lot of people were. I enjoyed it, but it's interesting to see what happened with the Defenders and everyone else and Luke Cage and where he's at and the new characters that they are bringing in the first and second episode, and I'm enjoying what I'm seeing so far.
And I'll tell you what, I will say this, and I can't think of I think it's Jessica Henwick is her name, who plays Colleen Wing. She is a highlight. She was a highlight in season one and even more so in season two. And I know they're going to be developing a story, bringing in the Misty Knight character from Luke Cage for season two. And I'm very excited about that. So.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. Yeah. But so I'm curious because it's doing a lot of cool world building as well, which I like.
Yeah. Now the other Netflix show, which you Major League binge watched here, Kevin.
Yeah, I did.
and is probably considered one of the hottest shows on Netflix. And I haven't watched season one yet. There's so much I haven't had time, but it's on my.
Dude.
I know it's coming. It's coming shortly. Ozark with Jason Bateman. Season two has come out, and I've heard nothing but rave reviews.
Yeah, this is something that Aaron and I started watching last year, and we got into it, and. One of the cool things about it is it's one of those great productions. It's filmed here in the Atlanta area, Georgia area, and Lake Allatoona in Georgia and several areas take place and become what Ozark is, the Ozarks in Missouri. And Jason Bateman, I think he's not only the star, but I think he's also one of the producers. He plays a money guy helping to launder money for the Mexican cartel mob. And he tries to escape to the Ozarks. He goes to the Ozarks to get out of Chicago and move his family. And because of his skill of moving money around and laundering, he becomes very useful. But then he ends up running into other local criminals and mob people in the Ozarks. And so season two picks up, he's well into everything and there's some new threats. And I got to tell you, dude, Ozark is one of the best crime mob dramas, I would say, since probably The Sopranos.
Very cool.
It is a really, really well done. It's really well written. And the building of these characters and the changes that they have to make to live day by day and trying not to get killed, not just from one mob people and cartel people, but the other people. And it's just, oh my God, dude, it is so good. It's really, really, really well done on all parts of it. And I got sucked into season two as quickly as I did the first season, and I marathoned it.
No.
And by the way, season three has been green lit.
Yes. Oh, I would think so. But now let's talk about a couple new series that people are familiar with for one reason or another, Kevin. And one I know you were very excited about because you were a fan of the original series that this is being spun out of, which was Sons of Anarchy, which means, of course, we're talking about Mayans MC, which just had its season debut.
Yeah, huge, huge fan of Sons of Anarchy. And the Mayans were the other motorcycle club that they were a little bit at odds with, but then they ended up aligning themselves with, which Kurt Sutter, the showrunner, and also a husband of Katie Sagal, if I remember correctly. Of course, Katie Sagal co-starred in, played the mother of Jack. She co-starred in Sons of Anarchy. This takes place about one of the characters in the Mayans, who is one of the underlings. It actually starts out as a prospect, which for you people that watch Sons of Anarchy is the, if you don't know what a prospect is, it is kind of like the, how shall we say, the trainee of the motorcycle club, the one that they kind of get to do all the errands, and you have to wear a prospect patch, and you have to at least be a prospect for a year to then make your ranks up into, because you got to prove yourself. And these guys are tied, obviously, not only to other gangs and cartels and stuff like that, but they also have other gangs and other cops and stuff they got to deal with. And got to tell you, it was a pretty good season debut. It was fascinating to see some other faces of the Mayans return that you saw as guest stars in Sons of Anarchy. But it's all about this kid who you get a little backstory on, and he has to go to jail for something that he did. And he comes out of jail several years later, and he gets into the lifestyle, and he ends up meeting with an old girlfriend that has also changed and gotten into the business on the other side. And it's fascinating. It was a really good episode. It was one of those extended episodes. I think it was like an hour and 15 or 20 minutes, you know. But I got to tell you, you know what, when I was watching this, I was thinking of something that you told me. What show was it that you were watching where they went all out on the language?
The Magicians.
Same here in the Mayans. They actually have crossed the border from what Sansa Anarchy used to use. F words.
Oh, yeah. Magicians is just A like words. That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the violence is there too. The only thing that they haven't done really is the nudity.
Yeah.
Ozark, because it's a Netflix show, they go all out because it's a Netflix show and it's adult. They do the language and the nudity there. But the only thing they haven't crossed yet is the full-on frontal nudity. But, man, F words here and there, all over the place. At 10 o'clock at night, there it is on regular television.
And The Magicians airs at 9 o'clock at night, and they're dropping F-bombs. So, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Okay, and then the other series you want to talk about, Kevin, is something I know you're a huge fan of. And
Guilty pleasure, man.
Guilty pleasure, and it's because it's been getting a lot of hype because you've also had the first Purge film that just came out, so now my understanding is this kind of picks up where that film leaves off a little bit, or am I incorrect in assuming that?
No. What it does, though, okay. So, of course, the Purge TV series debuted its first episode. What it does, though, is the Purge has already been happening for a little while. The first Purge kind of showed you how it started, but the other faction of the government that takes over the United States that's not Democratic or Republican is mentioned in this television series in the first episode. And the first episode gives you, I think it starts off about, I want to say 75 hours, couple days before the Purge is supposed to start. So you see the people in America getting ready for the Purge in their own ways. And the first episode highlights about, I think, four or five different people like families getting ready for the Purge. So you get the guy who used to be in the military, and he's looking for his sister. All right. You get that thing. And then you get these girls that they're all getting ready for something for the Purge. And they're kind of very cultish, you know? And you're like, what are they doing? What are they doing? And then you get this kind of up and coming kind of not rich couple, but they're part of this like upper echelon, or they want to be of, you know, moving up in business and stuff like that. And they get invited to this black tie event on Purge night, and not sure what exactly, but they know a lot of supporters support this new government regime. So they're kind of like on the fence of moving ahead in business, but having to really pretend that they're not really supporting them. And then you get this other girl who gets in this, she's like the vice president of this company that protects its employees during the Purge, but then she's got this like this other agenda going on. So the first episode is all about getting ready for the Purge and when the Purge starts, and the Purge is like just starting, and then the end of this episode ends.
Interesting. So
it's very, very, very cool. It's what I wanted if I wanted a Purge TV series, and they're very clever about this. So you're going to see what's going to happen in this. Each of the, by the way, both the Mayans and the Purge are 10 episodes. So you're going to see what happens in this Purge with all of these different people and puzzles. And whether they all intertwine, I don't know. But it's fascinating to see different parts of it. And a lot of unknowns, a lot of people I didn't know that I find fascinating.
Yeah,
and that's what I loved about The Purge, because you had Ethan Hawke in the first one, and then you had Frank Grillo in the second and third one. And then you in the recent one, you had Marissa Tomei as one of the architects of The Purge. And this one, there's not really a lot of big names in it, which I kind of like about it.
Very cool. So, yeah, it's I find it interesting some of the 10-episode TV series we're getting now on standard TV, not on a Netflix or not on a... It's becoming more of a pattern. Yeah,
The Purge is on USA, yeah. And then, of course, The Mayans is on FX.
Yeah, so... Well, Kevin, it's been a good show. We've talked about a lot of things, but do you have any final thoughts this week before we close things out on Culture Clash?
I just want to go to bed. I'm tired.
Yeah.
No, I just want to say it's good to be back, dude. We did 100 episodes of Culture Clash. We're at 101 now. It's good to be tight. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming up and visiting me at DragonCon. That meant a lot to me, man. It was good to see you.
Yeah, it was good to see you too, and meant a lot for me to see you. So I'm going to go a little off the rails here with my final thoughts because of the day it is. Kevin and I are recording this on 9/11.
Mm. Yep.
And for those of you who have known me for a long time, you know my father is a retired first responder. He was a police officer for over 20 years. And I know what our political climate is and about, you know, and the problems we're having with so-called police violence and things like that. But I just want to put a reminder out there to everybody, no matter what your issues are, and I'm not saying that every person out there that is a first responder of any kind is perfect. They're human beings. They make mistakes. There's bad apples in every bunch. But all of those people, when they step out, whether they're a police officer, a firefighter, our military, our... you know, National Guard, whatever, they put their lives on the line every day for us. They could go out there and not come home. And I've experienced that feeling of knowing somebody you love every day goes out and puts their life at risk. And just take a moment, put aside the anger, put aside the hate, put aside everything. And this doesn't close, it's across the board, fandom, whatever. Take a moment and appreciate the people who look out for you and appreciate that we are lucky enough to have been able to talk like on this podcast about fandom because of the things that people like those people do and the selflessness they showed in New York and in Washington and in Pennsylvania when all those things happened. And remember every name that's on that memorial, whether it's the people from the World Trade Center, the first responders who passed away, the people on the planes. Those are the important things in life, and remember them. And also finally, too, for our listeners in that are in the Carolinas or the Virginia area, be safe. That is a very big storm that is coming your way, and you might be downloading a few podcasts to listen to, and hopefully we're one of them that can help you get through. I'm sure it was going to be a very intense few days. So stay safe, guys, because we want you back and listening. So those are my...
Well said, sir.
Yeah, those are my final thoughts, but I can't close out the show without Kyle's Killjoy's quote of the week now, can I, Kevin?
That's right. I've been catching up, man. I think I'm in season two doing my rewatch, and my DVR is recording the new season, so I'm slowly catching up.
Okay, so this week's Killjoy's quote, John, you have no idea what I do. Maris, you fly around drinking and getting into trouble. No. Well, okay, sometimes. That sounds about right, doesn't it, Kevin?
Yes, it does. It's like, okay, so maybe you do know what I do.
Yeah. Well, on that note, everybody, you know, especially you, again, you people in the Carolinas and Virginia, be safe. And everybody out there, enjoy your fandom. We will be back next week.